Hi, everybody. Give me just a second to get myself organized here. I was fussing with this stuff this whole time, and I'm still not ready. Okay. Before I get down to it, I just want to say two things, and number one is a big thank you to everybody who makes the Hemingway's reading series happen, including all of you guys who came. That's thing number one. Thing number two is, can everybody hear me even when I'm moving away from the mic? Okay, I might just not use it then, if that's okay. Because it's... Okay. Oh. Thing number two is, my son and I just launched a website called upagus.com. It's like Snuffleupagus, if you're wondering how to spell it. It's so new that I haven't even made any sort of promotional materials, but I encourage everybody to submit and read. So that's thing number two. And now, some poems. And I like Pam's idea of going with the theme of things that were workshopped at the Squirrel Hill Poetry Workshop. And so I'm mostly going to do that. I'm only going to deviate a little bit. And I'm going to start with this one. Hansel and Gretel in Space, which I also have to read now because of Pam's poem. Hansel and Gretel in Space. Rations of freeze-dried pumpernickel, then into the hammocks where Father buckled them snug and began a tale of the good prince and princess who had no adventures and plenty to eat. They awoke adrift, bumping the walls of an escape pod. Hansel called out, knowing his parents would not answer. 3 days of fuel, their best toys and games, no bread. No hydroponics, of course. Mother and father have cloaked the ship, Gretel said from the instrument grid. You can't know that, not for sure. Hansel flung himself across the small cabin. Outside, space crackled like freezing fire. They sucked smooth stones gathered on planets in happier times, floated mostly, slept shifts in the foam-lined pilot seat. In the end, they watched sensor readings tickering by. They held hands, sat still. On screen, a planet, a distant dot. In silence, they laid a course using all the fuel. A new light filled their pod. Soon, the children could see brown and white and coral bands, as they drew close, the flawed red eye. Once more, Gretel reached for Hansel's hand. You take the chocolate and butterscotch parts, she said. I want the icing and cherry. Hansel smiled. Sister, we will have plenty to share. The nurse. In the white room, a man propped in bed. He pats the mattress, so I sit. His sheets, his gown, the sun glaring in. The man smiles, as if we've known each other a long time. He brings a tooth from behind his pillow, shows it in the palm of his hand. I asked them to pull the whole thing, root and all, so they did. She's named Nicole. I nod, not understanding. The man rubs Nicole's point with a fingertip. I can't tell, he says, if they humor me because I'm crazy or do what I say because I'm rich. I've had these numbers on these poems. Forget it, right? All-knowing in the biblical sense. Like the corporate man who drops a grand to get flayed, stepped on in stilettos, God created Satan for Sundays. For the shiver of smallpox, tapeworms, the bite of barbed wire, the rush and tear of landmines, a four-year-old thrown from amusement park ride, it is good. The ash settles and they breakfast at Denny's. Satan taps her cigarette in God's orange juice and leans across the corner booth to whisper, lips brushing his ear, all the ways she will ruin him next week. The Bride of Penn Avenue, a local one. She waits on the porch in her gown and veil. On her porch, it's always daylight. It's always a steel town. Girls always wear white that one day of their lives. She's always awaiting that first glimpse of night. He slips by, saturates the sky, descends upon his bride. Okay. I might, like, three more?
Yeah, go ahead,
Jake. Okay. Okay. I'm going to stop for a second and do one for my book. Then, which is for sale.
Yes.
Half off, even, since it's vintage now.
Very cheap.
And I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to read Trigger Zen. I cocked my finger at the moon, and three pointed back. Three itchy fingers tipped with silver crescents, linked at the knuckle. Howling would give us away. I parted the pews of my teeth, aimed at the roof of my mouth. They had grown restless under cloistered palate, firmament invisible in silence. Even the crooked and hollow rejoiced in skim light. My finger let in from the clay pigeon moon. Okay, my last page, my last two, okay. Another fairy tale one, Hamlin to Hollywood. Anna does not remember passing beneath the tall white letters, scrub crunching under our feet, the waiting van on a black road. She remembers the empty pool where we all rode bikes and trikes under a full moon while backbeat thumped inside the mansion. The carnival faces of men, silk ties unknotted. They clapped when we sang, laughed when we smoked. She remembers the fat producer and his poop jokes. A smooth violet stone she hid under our bed in a cough drop tin. Singing for the president, the red and blue jumpers we had to wear on stage. She remembers trying to lift Heidi off the bathroom floor, trying to tell me Paul shot himself in Vegas, but she couldn't. She hung up the phone. She's sitting at her vanity, tying off her arm, trying to bust out of time again, but Anna does not remember we were sisters. How we crept from our mother's garden at dawn to join the children's parade, holding hands and singing along, following a man into the mountain. And we'll end on a bit of a lighter note. This, another one, most of them, almost all of these were hatched and improved at the Squirrel Hill Poetry Workshop. So thanks again, everybody. A Child's Riches. I met a child on the road. We walked together in our muddy clothes. In his light voice, he asked travelers for money. Refugees and thieves pulled coins from their sleeves. He spent them all on a room with two pallets, and I kept silent. The child led me along the warped porch, pulling my arm, but soon ran ahead. Later, I would find him asleep in the dirt. In full dark, I stepped from under the eaves into a sky flooded with pinwheeling stars. Thanks.